You want to have a sense of connection. You want to. You're not getting a sense of connection. Do you feel connected to Jack?
It's very rare. Yeah, with Jack I do. I'm like, you know, close people, but not like how with most people. It's really rare. And I just felt it's always been like a non-human trait of mine. So then I'm asking other humans, how does that connect?
Here's an instant theory. I think that's true of everybody, because when I think of my many years here, I've only had a few friends. It's always just a few people you meet through the years. They come add up if you've been around as long as me, but you don't connect with many people. Yeah, you don't connect with many people. Nobody connects with many people. They do connect with a few people, and you know, most people, if they're not famous, don't have that many people come to their funeral. You know what I mean? They have a few, five or six friends, and I think that's the way it's for everybody. I don't think people connect in your private self.
It's not something that's rare.
Yeah, I think you're normal. I think you're normal.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have anybody I've connected to here. Anybody I connected here, Carol?
Me.
No, I've been with you all a long time. No, I'm talking about anybody here. There are a few people I've met, and I've been a reasonable person, nice person, but they don't seem to want to come back and to find out about me or anything. Is there anybody? I have not connected with anybody in Hawaii.
The Beach Boys?
Yeah, but they're just, they don't know anything about me, and we don't do anything. I don't invite them to my place. They're just friendly. You know, I'm cute. I'm nice. I'm fuckable. They like to fuck me if they could. You know, I'm sort of like nice like that, but they don't get to fuck me, so they're just polite to me.
Well, you didn't go to the Christmas party this year down at the pool, so how are you going to meet anyone?
Well, I definitely don't want to meet anybody who lives in this fucking place. I am not impressed with people living here. Yeah, no, I don't go by the way to connect with people, but there are opportunities to meet with people, like Jennifer's friend and this and that person, but they are not a fucking amazed by me and do not come hankering to hang out with me. So they're either stupid or I'm happy they didn't notice me to want to connect with me. I'm very happy being by myself I'm happy just to know Jermaine and Roxanne and a couple of Inettes and talk to them. That's good enough for me.
Okay.
So, don't worry about it.
Yeah, if Bob's lonely, then you guys aren't lonely. Is that the way to say it? If Bob can't make any fucking friends, then you guys are doing great with the non-friends you don't have.
I think that's just so interesting about people, that everything has to be about having other people around and a connection and conversation and everything, or like just having a sense of being social or a society or a group of friends or people coming together.
Well, there are people there are people who go to bars and enjoy being in bars and, I don't know, meet people and have a social life. I never took that seriously. I don't think I've ever been in a bar other than when I had to be.
But you still have your way of having that social sense of, like, having this talk show and everybody gets together and talks, and it's a sense of communication with others.
Yeah, and I'm only doing this because I sort of started it. I mean, the people I started with don't talk to me. James, he doesn't have anything to do with me.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's
I think I'm one of the few ones that stuck around.
Yeah, I can say on a one-to-one level, I am an absolute failure. I have never made a friend of anybody. There are a lot of people who are on a surface level are my friends, and I have a lot of those people. But, Carol, is there anybody who's my friend who actually calls me because they need
friend.
To talk to me?
Well, you blew with Steve Jameson.
Oh, yeah, he was a good friend for decades, but Iron ruined that.
Mm-hmm.
And even him, I had to make the effort to stay in touch. I do stay in touch with people. I make the effort. Is there anybody? I don't think I've ever gotten a call. Hey, Bob, how you doing? I don't think anybody has tried to call me and ask me how I'm doing. I'm not counting the Inettes. They got ulterior motives. They want to fuck Ion, and they got reasons to fucking talk to me. But among people who don't know about Ion, I can't think of anybody saying, hey, Bob, how you doing? I haven't talked to you.
No.
Carol's laughing. Nobody wants to talk to me. I'm the most unfucking popular guy on the planet on that level.
Hey, there's...
But Bob, your own words were that, that's not what you wanted. You said, I don't want friends, because then I'd have to go to fucking funerals and weddings and all that bullshit.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah, I think you're right. Yes. Yeah. That's right. I like talking to people, but nobody wants to talk. Call me and talk. Okay, there it is. Nobody's gonna, they want to talk to a know-it-all. I fucking Bob's a know-it-all, right? So, yeah, I'm not fun to talk to.
I don't believe any of that, and you don't believe any of that.
Who's is that? Susanna or Susan? Right?
Susan. Yeah,
no,
Susan.
It's kind of true. Susan. Carolyn would vouch for it. I don't know if it's totally true, but it's sort of true, isn't it, Carolyn, what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to have. No,
we
here
had
it
a
is.
Three conver- three,
hey,
people
Susan.
Don't think that they can approach you.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I'm totally here, friendly guy. Just that,
I know, but they don't know that. They figure you're a radio personality. It's you know, and that
yes, it's a fucking fringe fake.
On
it's
your
a fake.
Space.
Well, maybe they pick up. I'm not going to do small talk. I don't do small talk. You know.
No, you don't do small talk. You do deep talk.
Yeah, always deep talk. And
that
and I don't know anything. And I don't know anything about cars or anything that people do small talk about. I don't know anything about anything. I don't know nothing about that. I only know deep stuff.
Okay.
Which is actually
cool.
Just remaining a kid and asking the kid questions constantly and not knowing anything. That's being deep.
I suspect Jermaine might have the same problem, but for a different reason. Jermaine, this is Katie. We've never
yeah,
talked.
Yeah, Jermaine's a deep person. Well, you're kind of a deep person. You're like this, like what
I think Jermaine, I imagine Jermaine, even though I've never seen her, just through her personality on the phone, is super attractive. Like your personality is super attractive. I love
no,
when
no, she's,
a,
she's like Roxy. Her and Roxy, they're artists. They can spend days by themselves making things. That you know, they've got the artist thing going for them. They're totally
I know,
happy.
But that doesn't mean. But that doesn't mean that they're not attracted to other people. Roxy's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about other people being afraid.
Are you saying they're attractive?
Correct.
To other people. Other people, other people want to be attracted.
There, other people are attracted to them, but also intimidated.
Well, you know, that's
energy,
what...
their beauty, their personality.
That's what I said in the first sentence to Jermaine in her first session. Talked about
oh,
how
really?
Guys would come up to her, and they got from Jermaine that go away. I'm not going to talk to you. She had maybe a superiority kind of fucking thing. You know, there's no way I'm going to hang out with you, right, Jermaine? That was your initial effect on people, I think, that Ion said, and
yeah.
It was correct. It was correct.
Yeah. People don't really think that I'm not necessarily approachable because I do get a lot approached, but.
Feel bad. They don't feel bad if you reject them. They expect you to reject them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're surprised yep. when I turn out to be, like, cool and I talk, because I have no problem talking to people and hanging out. But if they interest me, I think that's my thing. If they're not interesting, I won't stick around. And for me,
right.
Interesting, I guess my level of interesting, my bar, I guess, is kind of different than most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't
that's
find most people interesting. You don't find
no.
most people interesting.
No, unless they have something really, like, out of
yeah, I'm still trying to figure out whether you're a fucking blatant narcissist or it's justified. I'm not sure, Jermaine, if you're your superiority complex
justified.
Is justified.
It's
I'm not
justified.
Sure. I'm working on that.
It's justified.
I'm
Katie says
that.
It's justified.
There was a time when I was totally obsessed with Jermaine, and I was trying to find if I could find her on Facebook or find some way to connect with you with her. So it's funny that you're asking about connection.
Well, what, Katie? What was it? What was it? Is this like when you first started listening? Her voice was
yeah.
the most interesting voice to you.
Yeah, and she's just so fun and so full of life and so youthful and going out with Jack and he's got to take off his clothes
you
and get in the shower and
how lonely
clubbing.
You were, Katie. You never had an in crowd, Katie, right? You never were in the in crowd.
No, of course I was in the in crowd. We just got done saying that I was entirely popular sorority girl in college. Yeah, so maybe it was retrieving
well, you know,
that. I don't know. I just attracted to it.
I never
and then when
had
I finish
no
this,
social media, that's why. Until
well,
now.
But then there's
wait, you're over-talking.
Domain.
You're over-talking. I'm not kidding.
I know,
first of all, are you saying, Katie, that you were part of the in-crowd?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you attracted to Jermaine because she sounds like the in-crowd when there was an in-crowd in your life and she's doing it?
Oh, and I identify with it. It's not
okay.
That I'm lacking something that she has. I identify with it.
Right.
I think she's wonderful. And then
what did you, and you wanted to get in touch with her, what were you going to do if you if you
like,
got
oh, my God, you're so amazing. I just want to know you. I see pictures of you and see your design. And then there's a guy I met whose name is Jermaine, and he friended me one time on Facebook. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Jermaine. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, it's the other Jermaine.
That's Jermaine with a J, right? A J?
Yeah, it's a man. It's a man.
Yeah, I know him. I don't know if he's an Ionette, but he lurks around. You know,
yeah.
He must have noticed you on my Facebook or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's a black guy in New York City, I think.
Right. They
everyone confuses
your name I was hoping
name.
For.
You know what's funny? Everyone confuses my name, but they think automatically I'm a black guy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you spell it, Jermaine?
With a G, G-E-R-M-A-I-N-E.
Right, like Jermaine Greer. Okay.
Well, you can say that Jermaine, she's a magnet. She finds out where things are happening. She's at the center of L.A. a lot. I don't know if she's today anymore, but she was for years.
Yeah.
And she found us. She found. She knew. You know, she found out about Ion, I think, on her own. Just came right to us as soon as we started happening.
Yeah, I found you guys on my own, and then I started telling a few people, but nobody really understood it. And Leon was the only one that really liked you guys.
Yes, yeah,
and
Leon.
He's still around. Yeah.
Do you know that story, Katie? Leon worked with Jermaine and had found us on his own and was didn't talk to anybody about it, just listened to it, listened to every show. Then one day the person down the hall was on the show as a fashion correspondent, and he was probably the most shocked he'd ever been in his life. And he barges down the hall and goes into Jermaine's office and says, "Is that you on? Are you no Ion?" You know, how's that pretty
serious? That's crazy. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he didn't know. And then I finally said, "Yes, that's me." That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Roxanna is an interesting person. She has had an artistic superiority complex all her life, doesn't need people, faked a marriage or two, wasn't even involved, didn't even do the marriage properly. It wasn't even, I don't know what, it was a front for something else to keep people away from her. And she's still like that, and she's even worse now because she's got something that she really likes doing now, being creative with, so she won't even let people visit her. And that's all a lie. I'm just trying to get Roxanna to speak.
Is she on tonight?
Yeah, she's just sitting here. She won't speak. You know, if you heard, she'll only talk to Ion. And if you notice, when any Ionette says something to her on the show, she goes, yeah, 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 yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
She's the most anti-social Ionette here.
Well, there's so much to know because I don't try to understand anymore to know.
Yeah, there's so much to know that you can ignore knowing because you're not trying to understand anymore.
I like that.
I have to ask Ion.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not here to talk to anybody else. Ion's the only thing. People, hey, listen, this John guy, I want to... Read this. This is, what's Shannon saying? Shannon's saying, here's Shannon. She said this, only 10 minutes ago. Is everyone ascending in due course, or are some people descending? And then she says, don't say yes, I'm an example. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, sir. There are many people descending, and are many people ascending? And I said, in the Roxy video, those ascending, those who were ascending are descending, and those who were descending are ascending. That's what's happening right now. It's all mixed up.
But we still know someone who's descending and is descending.
Say that again. Did you say?
We still know one person who descended and is still descending.
We do. We know one
MDH.
Yeah. And could you now I know who you're saying. Could you say it again? They're descending and still descending. Is that what you said?
Well, I'm trying to say it in a cute way. Someone who descended and is still descending.
Yes, they had the opportunity to change course and they didn't.
That's correct, yes. So they already descended, but they're still descending.
Yeah, and you said that, not me. I'm not going to court.
Allegedly descending.
Yes.
Exactly. Allegedly.
Yeah, he will sue you. He will go after you.
Exactly.
Even though it's illegal, he'll say threaten soon. That's illegal, what he does.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, well.
Okay.
So what was the old story? Does anybody remember this when some guru said, those who are asleep but don't know they're asleep, let them sleep. Those who are awake but don't know they're awake, teach them. There's some funky platitude there that I always thought was cute. Does anybody know that one? I don't know if it Ram Dass said it or something like that.
I never heard that before.
No? Okay. You know, they're asleep, but they don't know they're asleep. So teach them. Those who are asleep and know they're asleep, leave them alone. And there was three or four. No. Okay. Forget it.
Well, John.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Bob. I wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed the post you put on Dupes about your friend, Gerd.
Yeah, isn't that neat? The fucking guy is the center of the storm, right in the middle while I'm trying to get him his RNA drops.
Really cool story. And it was really funny because I was going to ask you last week or the week before, for the last 2 weeks, and I wasn't on, if you could just talk about the whole hipster phenomenon that's going on right now, and if you felt it was a replay of the beat culture that Kerouac was part of and all of your friends, and what the differences are, if it's flipped totally, but I don't see it flipped in a way that it's turned into art. I see it as flipped in the way that it's not good.
No, that's a good topic. It's a good topic, but I didn't know there was a hipster fad going on. Tell me about it. What are the signs of it?
Well, it's the whole hipster culture. It's with the young kids. Maybe Jermaine can comment a little more on it if you're more familiar. I just had a conversation with this young girl who called herself a hipster and that she had a big night out going and to a God, what's that called? The where you smoke tobacco through those long pipes they used to open.
Yeah, Elias, whatever her name is.
What's that word?
Hookah bar,
exactly. So that's apparently now very popular and trendy to do that and to smoke tobacco that are all sorts of different flavors, like bubble gum, she said.
Yeah, Eliza does that. I want to say, Susanna, how come your phone is so incredibly good and you're so fucking articulate? You're very articulate. You got a beautiful phone. Why can't other people have your kind of phone? What do you got going there?
I don't know. I have headphones on. I just got a new iPhone.
Cool.
It's a iPhone. It's a Mac headphone set.
Mac? You mean a Mac iPhone?
Yes.
That guy, Macintosh, iPhone.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, it's very clear. Jesus. I want to before we go into history, I want to tell you what. So John Beter, he's always writing me interpretations of what Ion's saying. Ion says a bunch of shit, and he does research and he finds data or inventions that sound like what Ion's talking about. He goes on and on and on and on. And I hardly read his emails. I wrote back to him, and I want this on the record. I said, no point in typing me your ideas, John. I have no comment to make on them. They're not my fucking no, I didn't say that. They're not my notions. You should be telling Ion your thoughts. I'm not interested in responding to people who just listen to Ion. Ion is only for engaging with, live on the radio. That's how the temporary learning takes place, and I put learning in quotes. So let me just say that. I don't give a fuck what you think of Ion. Don't ask me to comment on your ideas. I have nothing to say but what Ion said, only Ion. So you should be on here talking to Ion and not to me. Now, if Ion's not here, I'll tell you all kinds of shit about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud of that statement.
Okay.
I don't think anybody is a PR person. I'm the head PR person for Ion. And says, you know, like when Katie worked for Marianne Williamson, she did not say, I don't give a fuck what Marianne says. I'm not interested in your interpretation. No, that's not the way she would say that. I'm not interested in your ideas you get from Marianne. You talk to Marianne. I'm not interested. Well, maybe you would say something like that, Katie, right?
No, it took me years to be able to say it. I can only say it now. I would have never said it at the time.
Yeah, you'd be polite and pretend you're interested in whatever level you think you're supposed to be interested in, right?
Oh, I was. I mean, I was interested. Absolutely. I never would have said that. No.
So why aren't I interested in people's ideas that they get from Ion?
Because you know that your stuff is just as important. Like, you're just not impressed by it.
No, I don't.
No.
I there's no point in asking my opinion. How? You cannot translate Ion. You can't say what Ion's about. Ion's Quicksilver.
Well.
What? Go ahead.
Like electricity, we can't describe electricity, but we can describe very well the effects of electricity. So I could describe the effects of Ion, but I couldn't tell people what Ion is, you know, other than NP.
And you could describe the effects and ask my opinion. I could say, yeah, I noticed those effects, but I wouldn't be able to tell you whether your effects are properly interpreted.
Well.
You'd have to ask
I think
Ion.
The effects are so, yeah, but again, the effects are so personal to everybody. I mean, it would just be your own, hey, this is what I experienced when I first had an Ion session. This is what I experienced when I had the second Ion session. And you know, they were profound for me enough where I had to pay attention because it was a red flag waving in front of a bull going, hey, something big here is going on. So, you know, what is Ion besides non-physical? I don't know. What is electricity? I don't know. But here are the effects of engaging electricity. Here are the effects of engaging Ion.
Right. And is booked, what's his name, James? James, are you on the line here? Coming in through an unknown something from Perth? There's somebody from Perth here on a weird connection, but... James,
Bob, I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay, Katie, let me just see if there's one thing more to say, Katie. One more idea. Let's see. So, hey, Katie, there's nothing you are interested in Ion's opinion about?
No, not right now. I've racked my brain. I really have.
What do you think of the idea that... you should come in and engage with Ion anyways.
I mean, I'm open to it.
Well, yeah, try it sometime. Come on in and stay and talk to Ion.
Yeah.
I mean your questioning might be interesting.
Yeah, make up some questions about Revelation. Just make it up, Katie.
Okay, I'm open to that.
I'm interested in people's questions of Ion. That's sort of interesting, what they come up with.
The timing has been bad, too, because I talk, and then he's here, mm-hmm. and then I'm done, and then he comes back later, and I'm already off, and then I'm, I was so bored when I listened to the archives last week when Ion was bored.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't even believe they're still on. Like, why are they coming? Well, I mean,
you know why I am sound
so
bored?
Boring.
Hey, Katie, you know why I am sound bored?
They don't
bored?
Have emotion.
Let me put on the record. Ian was not bored. Ian was staying with some people, and they could not. They were in a hotel room, and they could not talk loud.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Yeah, that's
well,
the reason Ion was being very careful about what he was saying.
Oh, hold on. How does that work? How does Ion stay with some people?
Well, it was JW. It was JW.
Oh, it was JW. Okay.
Yeah, and I guess he was coming through JW, or he was around there. JW, he can be right beside JW. And, you know, JW can be doing other stuff. But I'm not sure why... why he didn't go to another place? Now, that's a good question. Why couldn't he go to another room, you know? I don't know.
Right. Well, in any event, I'm going to go to sleep because I'm going to go to sleep. But this was really fun, and I did stand for 6 hours tonight, so that was good.
Yeah, really very good, Katie. Appreciated your input.
Yeah.
Thank you
very
for
nice.
Your treasury of wisdom. We appreciate your treasury of wisdom.
Thank you so
it
much.
Is late.
And
you're well loved,
Katie.
Katie,
I just wanted to say that I don't think anybody truly hated you. I think what they were feeling was jealous that you had such an exclusive time on the radio when they had questions that they wanted to ask. If they truly hated you, they would never have engaged you. And it's just a selfishness, which we're all supposed to be. We're all supposed to be selfish here, which is good, you know. But they just wanted as much time, you know, radio time as you were getting, and they weren't getting it.
That's yeah, Greg, that was radio time with Ion, not with Bob. They thought Katie was using up time with Ion.
Yes, right. But they also want time with you too, Bob, so they were jealous of that.
No,
that made
me moist
as a bundt cake, Greg. Moist as a bundt cake. That may be moist as a bundt cake.
Moist as a bundt cake. There you go.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Okay.
Yeah, wait, Katie. What's that phrase? Bundt cake? What are you saying?
Moist as a bundt cake. The first time I ever, the second time I talked to you when we covered understanding media, I was so excited that I was about to cry. And you said, don't cry, Katie, that's ridiculous. And Greg came in and said to me, I get where you're coming from. I've heard a lot of people talk to Bob, and I have not heard very many people engage him as fully as you did. If I were you, I'd be moist as a bundt cake.
It's a sexual expression, Bob.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
So I'm and I'm actually looking at the bundt cake that I made today as I talk.
Oh, neat.
Which I posted on Facebook tonight, so you can go and look and see my butter recipe fudge bundt cake.
Yes, whenever I go to you guys' Facebooks, I'm appalled at the trivial bullshit you guys are posting on. I can't believe it. I'm glad you don't bring any of that over here. We wouldn't put up with it very much.
Okay, I'm going to bed, you guys. Good night.
Okay, nice talking
to you.
Good night. Hey, anybody want to hear a song?
Is it a good one?
I'm going to bed. So good night, all. From North Carolina.
Susan.
Okay.
Yes. Bye, Susan.
Night.
Play some music,
night.
Sure.
So, Gert Stern, 1928, he's born October 12th, one day from Don Thiel, who was born October 13th, 1928. Here's Gert, 85 years old, and he's part of one of the biggest stories of the year this past week or so. And this story jumped on him while we were trying to get his RNA drops. He's the only guy from the beatnik world 70, 80 years ago, still alive and lived long enough to meet Bob and Connie and get the benefits of the drops. So... he lived under the stigma of having thrown away the inspirational letter or literature written by Dean Moriarty of On the Road, real name Neil Cassidy, the criminal con man, hipster, rapid mouth talker, whose letter to Jack Kerouac inspired the style inspired On the Road. And Gert Stern, a few years later, well, just a couple years later, was accused of throwing away the letter. So for 60 years, the scholars, the fans of Beat Them, scorned Gerd for, if they knew about it, for throwing away such a valuable document. Well, Gerd found out a week or so ago the letter was found, probably put there by Ion, and Gerd, because he's on the drops, was vindicated. And when Time magazine interviewed him, he said that, well, the guy who called Gerd to tell him the good news that the letter was found, that guy, Jerry Cimino, at the Beatnik Museum in San Francisco, said that Gerd went, wow, 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 about 10 times. And then he laughed, the longest laugh that Jerry Cimino ever heard. And that's written up in Time magazine. So we move the mic over to Susanna, who wants to ask about this phenomenal story that we're in the middle of. You want to say anything, Susanna, right now? Everybody's unmuted. Maybe I'm not even on the air. Am I on the air? Anybody hear me?
Yes, you are.
Roxy hears me. Roxy, here's what someone said about you on the...
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Go ahead with Roxy.
Yeah. In quick message, somebody, it says name, Ionette, location, everywhere. The message is, Roxy is adored because she is genuine and authentic. She is pure and her joy shines. No bullshit ass-kissing. That's all news to Roxy, right, Roxy? You don't even know about that, right? Was that a genuine and authentic laugh, Susanna?
Very. It was.
Very authentic.
So, Roxy, Roxana has a great laugh. Great, great laugh. It's very gregarious.
And hoarse. And open. Ready for more.
Yeah. It's infectious, too. You want to laugh with her.
Yes. Okay, what, there's Gerd Stern. He's, after 60, I mean, he lost the letter in 52 or so. So 60 years ago. So at some point later when On the Road came out in 1957 and then became famous, and the Beatnik meme started, which is the Rouge Quadrant on my tiny note chart, Gerd had the stigma of mistakenly throwing the letter away. And
now,
then,
were you involved,
that?
Bob? Were you involved, Bob, in the
no.
In supporting the beat culture? Was this a phenomenon that started without your intervention?
Yes, I was not involved with it directly. I knew Beatniks. Garrett Dean, our great mentor, said that the character Dean Moriarty, which supposedly is based on Jack Neil Cassidy, the guy who wrote that letter that got lost, Garrett says that the character Dean Moriarty is based on him. And he was living in New York in the late 40s and early 50s. You can listen to the interview with Paris Flamand about how notorious Garrett was. And it could have been that Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac and Burroughs knew Garrett Dean in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's my direct connection, the closest I have. Later, many years later, after meeting Ginsberg several times, there was a point in 95, 96 when we looked at each other. It was at a convention, and I wondered if I wanted to talk to him again. And he looked at me, and I don't know what he thought, but we didn't talk. And then he was dead 18 months later.
Wow.
So the pattern began. And 18 months later, if you meet Bob and the timing's right, you can commit suicide.
That was the first?
No, there were many people before, but that struck me. And then the same thing happened to William Burroughs a few months later, and then he died 18 months later. And then there's a few other people. So we now know why people don't call me, why I'm the loneliest guy on the planet.
So watch out, Roxana. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no, it doesn't happen to women.
No, only men. Okay. Well, that's good. And then the whole beat culture was, would you say that that was the original flat culture?
No, the Wyndham Lewis and the Dadaists and the Surrealists were the beginning of the counterculture.
Oh, right.
You know, the scene in Paris and in Europe and Berlin. These were, the 20th century, the alternative culture of the 20th century began.
Okay. So then the beat culture is just another incarnation of that same type of mentality or mindset.
Well, it's the beginning of the Android meme. It's the earliest, dimmest part of the Android meme. It might even be pre-Android meme, but everything on my chart, and they're on my chart, is the Android meme from 1960 to 1990. I mean, Kerouac wrote that novel in the early 50s. He couldn't get anybody to publish it. But then all of a sudden, after Sputnik went up, the beatnik phenomenon was evoked, and so that was the beginning of the Android meme. The Global Theater had started, and so they were the first resistance, first Mexican rebellion against drug dealer presidents and drug dealer arms merchants, managers, and the whole corrupt beast that is so well spelled out in part 11 of the Revelation series.
It's funny that you said the other day Hitler was the first pop star.
Yes, and that would be, that's analog media. That's not the Android meme. So that the beatniks were a replay of 1840 to 1900. So that would be Baudelaire and 57 in Paris with his book Flowers of Evil, the Symbolists, and later Mallarmé, and the Flaneur and the... they were called the Flaneurs, the dandy culture that Oscar Wilde was later part of. That era is what is retrieved by the beatniks, according to my chart. But it's so long ago that it's very hard to see the beatniks as part of the Android meme. But the way the beatnik novel On the Road got going, it seemed to be a Madison Avenue focus group. You know, let's release it now. The kids are affected by the satellite, by Sputnik. They're ready to have an identity crisis. Elvis is afoot. Rock and roll. The teens have their own Blackboard Jungle movie. It's time to pretend the kids have a life.
Well, is that why you're saying it's part of the Android meme? Because it was so commercialized, it was totally taken over by Madison Avenue and marketing to sell books and film.
That's true, and it's always indicative of the people made famous by it. Jack Kerouac was very upset at the fame that he got, became an alcoholic, became bitter, and lived for another 10 years and then died in 1969, not so old. He was born, I think, in 1922, and he resented the hippies, he resented everything, and became almost like a Nixon-supporting guy in his last years. So the one of the main characters of the Android meme is that if you become famous under Android meme conditions, you're doomed to an unhappy life.
Oh. And how did Gerd made it?
Was it because
of your influence?
No. Gerd made it. I didn't meet Gerd till 2000, but Gerd. He met everybody. The famous beatnik poem by Ginsberg, Howl, is about and begins with Carl Solomon. Well, Gerd met Carl Solomon before Allen Ginsberg did in the mental hospital in New York City. They had this sort of psychiatric institute for poets, might even been Jewish people, that Gerd's uncle sent him to because Gerd was becoming a vagabond teenager going down the village. He had pretensions to being a poet. So his uncle, who was a psychiatrist, said, you ought to book yourself into this place. They'll accept a feeble excuse, and you can go in there. So he meets Carl Solomon, who was a very interesting person. And then Ginsberg comes in a month later, and then he and Carl befriend Ginsberg, and the three of them had some adventures in the psychiatric institute. And later, Ginsberg wrote Howl, and in the poem said that Carl had sex with his mother. I think that's the story was. And Carl was shocked and outraged that Ginsberg said this, and it wasn't true. It was said in jest. And so the poem ruined, you know, Carl Solomon's life. Now, you'll hear Gerd talk about this. What I played was the beginning of a 24-hour interview with Gerd Stern, done in 2008. And so Gerd was in the center of the Android meme and went on and was a key propagator of it, indirectly or directly. He was the radio engineer for Alan Watts. He made Lenny Bruce famous by introducing him to Hugh Hefner. His girlfriend was Maya Angelou, who was the poet laureate for the Clinton presidency, who just died earlier this year, I think. He introduced Marsh McLuhan to Howard Gossage. He regrets that. He thinks that ruined McLuhan. He watched Tim Leary blow himself up. He watched Ram Dass blow himself up. He watched. He created the music stand, the band stand for Woodstock. It's not much that Gerd didn't do. He even had correspondence with McLuhan and gave me the letters. So here's Gerd, you know, what is it, 85 years old, 86 in October, and he outlives, there might be one or two beatniks around, but he's the one that gets interviewed in art schools and travels around with his art PC movement he did in the 60s. And he knows Bob and Carolyn and is on the drops. So he's the guy who made it. And Mark Stallman, who hated what the Beatniks stood for, when he met Gerd in 2000, when I met Gerd, after he said to me, that guy seems pretty neat. That's the only guy of that world that I respect. So Gerd's still happening, and now that this big event's happened in his life, he's lived long enough to have this redeeming of his reputation. Imagine that. For 60 years, that was across the bear. And we're going to get ready and do we'll add an hour or two interview to the 24 hours we did, because I said, just before I knew this, a month or two ago, I said to him, you know, Gerd, I think we need to do an update. What's happened to you the past 7 years? And let's do it. He said, sure. And then a week or two later, he became famous again, and now we really have a reason to discuss what's happened the last 7 years. So we'll do that one of these days.
Have you asked Ion whether there was any?
Not yet. I will. I haven't had a chance to talk to Ion.
Oh.
About that.
Have you ever had a session with Ion?
No, Gerd, I don't. I've talked to him about Ion, but I guess in a way he's indifferent. He has no interest in talking to Ion. I don't know if he listened to any of it, but no, he does not bring up Ion. He's just happy to use the drops. He doesn't even seem curious about how they happened.
What's his experience on the drops? Has he noticed a change?
Yes, he knows a change. And you see, what happened, he was in Venice in August, and he fell and broke his femur of his hip. He was laid up for a long time, the last couple of months, and had to be flown back from Venice, and he had to stay at his a friend's house. He couldn't live in his own home in New Jersey because he had to climb upstairs. So he's now back home, and I guess he can walk around, but he knows the Remag and our stuff would help him, you know, heal better, faster.
And so he didn't have that same feeling as Kerouac did about what happened to the whole beat culture?
No, he knew Neil Cassidy. He knew everybody. He considered them as scumbags. They were criminals. They actually, you know, they were con men. They would rip people off. And Ginsberg was mean personally. He had no liking for any of them. He went on to meet nice people or people that he liked. You can there's a university in San Francisco, Bancroft College or something. They've published, someone can go online right now, just put in Gerd Stern Bancroft College, and you'll see there's a long document he's interviewed about all his life, And when I read that, I thought, well, let's interview him and try to get the stuff that's not said on the printed document, which is online. So he is the Forrest Gump of the art world. And now he spends – I call him up, like, at least every 6 months to find out about what happened to who, because he's always – he lives in New York City area, so he's always going to reunions or memorials for people that have died of his generation, and that's where you meet – he meets people he hasn't seen in 50 years, and I talk to him after and get the stories. So I'm using him as my own archivist of that era or that generation. You know, I ask good questions.
What struck me was that I was
So I just wanted to say, Suzanne, that he has just moved along, went from wherever he went, Falls Bliss, and met everybody. He didn't stay stuck. He goes to art colleges. They want to know about his life as an artist in the 60s, and he teaches McLuhan. He's the only beatnik that got McLuhan.
Wow.
And the only beatnik who met Don Thiel. So he may not even realize, you know, how significant the connections he's made in Dobbstown and Iondom.
And then yet Kerouac is so revered as an icon of a culture, this beat culture, which I really don't understand myself.
No, that's because of what he wrote. Garrett is not famous for any particular writing. He was a poet, and he's still a poet, and writes poetry, even writes plays. But Kerouac is famous not for who Kerouac is, but for what he produced. And he says that his prose style was influenced by the letter that Gerd supposedly threw overboard on his houseboat in Sausalito, which now is proven not. Not true.
Well, that'll be interesting to see whether that was the case.
Yeah, if Ion dropped it back.
Well, and if Ion dropped it back, too.
Oh, what were you saying then?
Well, because I guess that was what Kerouac said with that letter, changed his writing style, and that's what was on the road. His book was the way he wrote that book was because of that letter. But no one really ever saw the letter to confirm that because it was lost. They thought destroyed.
Yeah.
So now there'll be a huge study of the letter to see if it was in fact that letter that changed the style.
That's right. The scholars will debate whether it actually was a style that, like the style of On the Road.
Right.
What is this noise? Is that Ira? Ira, when you're there in Sweden, and are you making hitting things, Ira? I notice that often when I unmute you, there's noises.
Noises? Oh, I'm sitting here all silent. I've got a little bird in the other room, though, and she's sometimes chirping.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it seems to be
but
a slash.
That wouldn't sound like slamming.
Yeah, it could be the bird. Can you put your phone on mute while you're sitting there?
Sure I can.
Yeah, like I'll leave. When you want to speak, you can unmute yourself. I won't put you on mute. Okay, yes, so Roxanne is backing you up, Susanna, so what do you want to say? You want to talk about the kids who are hipsters today?
Right, well, okay, just one more comment about Kerouac that I found interesting because I was looking him up and reading about him, and that he was saying the whole beat thing was more spiritual to him and that the word beat was more based on a beatitude. And
yes.
That late in his life, that he would say that he's not a beatnik, but rather a Catholic. And so I just made the connection of, well, that and Marshall McLuhan also being a Catholic. It's like, what is this with Catholicism?
Well, this is where the Android meme comes in, where it upsets the artist's image of what his work is, what he thought he was doing, what the public is, the image of the public. It's all mixed up in the Android meme period, because the word beatnik is the name they were known as, but that was a response to Sputnik. Now, I don't know why people named them beatnik, but it might have been as the rumors and mythology of the beatniks, their communal living sounded like they were communists, so maybe they had Nick, because the Russian Sputnik was added to beat to make it beatnik. But Jack Kerouac, yeah, he meant by beat the angelic beatitude. But then there was the fact that the global media environment, the global village, global theater, wiped out everybody's identity, so everybody was beat, like beaten up. So there was the media effect, the being beat up. There was Kerouac's attempt to be a writer's Gnostic and be a transcendent being. So that's beatitude.
And more spiritual.
Yeah, or thinking the criminal life was spiritual or the underground was spiritual. And then you have the tactile effect of beat, the beat and the interval. That would be what actually people were becoming, tactile. The resonant interval, so that meaning of beat. And so beat depressed, beat Nick, beat angelic, and beat as in tactile rhythm. So there's four levels there. And many people, when the hippies came along, they were responding to color TV and not marijuana and jazz, but to psychedelics and rock. And the older people said the hippies were just redoing the beatniks, but most people didn't think that. They thought the hippies were different.
And now we have the hipster.
Well, what and you need is that a 20-year-old, a hipster?
It's the early 20s. I'll read you the wiki definition. But the hipster subculture typically consists of white millennials living in urban areas. And apparently not just in America, not just in the United States, but it's a global culture. It's a mutating transatlantic melting pot of style, taste, and behavior broadly associated with indie and alternative music, a varied non-mainstream fashion sensibility, including vintage and thrift store bought clothes, generally progressive political views, organic and artisanal foods, and alternative lifestyles. But
what was the clothing? What was the first clothing?
The clothing, mainstream fashion, vintage and thrift store, mainstream fashion sensibility, but including vintage and thrift store bought clothes.
Okay, so that's the average sort of college crowd, semi-college crowd that's been going on for 50 years. That's beatnik culture, hippie culture. What would be next? Yippie, new wave, rave. The only difference is Zappa said that in L.A. was the freak culture, and they were very conscious of their clothing and image and dressed up to be outrageous, whereas the hippies were more like what you're sounding there, you know, granola kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
but wait, listen to this. Hipsters are typically described as affluent or middle-class young bohemians who reside in gentrifying neighborhoods.
Right. That's a bit different than slumming it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that what I mean by my chart, where I have the beatniks, the hippies, the yippies, the yuppies, and the guppies, and the slackers, that a literate kid growing up in industrial America and post-industrial is going to be alienated no matter what and not going to want to work in a regular 9-to-5 grind. And there's millions of them in Berlin. Rocky talks about them. And they're all over the world, and they don't want to live a straight life. They don't want to be boring. So I think an average bright kid would drift towards that. So the media comes up with a new name, hipster, which hasn't been used since the 50s, I guess. And it's the same trend. There'll be 20 years from now, there'll be that. Or maybe not. It'll be locked down.
And the look
maybe
is kind of retro, too. They have a goatee. They wear the berets.
Oh, if they have that aspect, yeah, then they're starting over again. They're doing the hippie, the beatnik thing, if that's what they're doing. But that was happening in the early 90s. I remember Moon Unit, Zappa was part of that. They started going to clubs and cafes and reading poetry. So I see these aspects are in my chart. Like an Ionette told me her daughter is going total hippie, like she's 18, 16, and she's listening to vinyl and Led Zeppelin and mm-hmm. wants to live the late 60s. So I find that each one of these kids, each generation, they go for somewhere. They got to be alternative. They're sick of being programmed. They wake up to it in their teens, later teens, and mm-hmm. then they try to, as Zappa said, in your fight against the world, bet on the world. So they try to take on the world and assert some autonomy, and it will fail unless they listen to me. I am the only solution, and we're going to actually address these people more and more in the near future.
Yeah, but at the same time, these hipsters seem slack and yet not, because they do want to not do the traditional job. They want to be a little more free, but yet they do want the entitlement of affluence.
Right. Well, maybe Bert, can you throw any light on the hipster phenomenon? Take your mute, Bert.
Oh, I didn't hear you mention me, Bob. Hi.
Yes. Do you have any comment on the hipsters in Zurich?
Yes. You see a lot of that in Zurich, the hipster. I don't know if you would say that they're in the same league or whatever what they are in Berlin, but you do see it. There's a certain part of the town where you can see their where they hang out in their art.
Yeah, it's the combination of the criminal, the slacker, the artist, the intellectual, the nerd, the dropout, the alienated. There's a lot of that going around of every one of those parts. It's natural. I mean, how would you, especially the kids are way more informed. They're actually gray at three, so they're very old people by the time they're 20 who'd want to have a repetitive routine. So they're going to do the best they can to avoid jobs, and also there are no jobs. That's what's different, I guess, from the 50s. There were jobs in the 50s and 60s and 70s. So we're going to have to come up with a different way to talk about this. It's rather a boring topic, so let's get
this. Can you say more about how you're going to address them?
Yes, we're going to I don't know if I'm allowed to say it yet, but I'm going to address them. I'm going to start a revolution. I'm going to gather these people all around the world and have them do what they're doing in Mexico, just stand there and refuse to move for hours and days, and then get them all wearing the same uniform and to march down the streets with no apparent reason. I'm going to mobilize them as a huge global fucking army and have them march around without saying what their agenda is or what they represent.
So more successful.
He is turning us into drones. He's turning us into drones, Bob.
Yes, they will turn. They will become the land drones, not Croker Sky drones. They will be Earth drones. They will purposely look like robots because that's all that's looking forward to their life.
The RNA drops turn us all in. We're all going to look the same.
Yeah. We're so indifferent to the physical body, we can even act like total zombies, and it doesn't bother us. We feel good anyways. It's going to be the most incredible army.
It's called uniform ascension.
It's going to be the proper way of doing Occupy Wall Street. We're going to occupy Planet Paluto.
Standard procedure.
OPP, Occupy Planet Paluto.
We're going to shout, follow the cloud.
Follow the cloud. That's right.
This is going to be a more successful than the 99 percenters.
Yes, we are going to be the 99 centers and the 1 percenters here to occupy the cloud. So what's that? OTC.
Yeah. And since Bob and Carolyn are doing everything, we won't have anything else to do but to just
stand there. Yeah, like
stand
attention.
Out in the street.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that it is my global bodyguard, and they're just standing there waiting for anybody to make a move on Bob.
There you go.
It's like a Swiss guard. If the Pope could have the Swiss guard, I could have a global slackery, yippee, beep, beep, dropout, criminal, dope dealer, heroin addict, fucking
Ascended drones.
They are ascended, who are now becoming descended. While the descending are ascending, the ascended are descending and ready to report to Bob. And Roxy is their Lenny Riefenstahl, their propagandist. They'll all yearn to be in her Lenny Riefenstahl Roxanne video.
That'll put the true meaning to "Here comes everybody."
Yes, yeah, everybody should do. Yeah, maybe they'll have a little combon, a little condom, you know, taped on their shirt, ready either to have been used or about to be used. That'll be the only threatening weapon, condom.
When they ask, "Who's your leader?" Muffin Man.
Muffin Man? Yes, very good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Muffin Man. Yeah, the drop of the hat, if they're asked to say an opinion, they'll just turn on their tape recorder and you'll hear Napoleon Murphy Brock on sax, George Duke on drums.
Good night,
planet, wherever you are.
We enjoyed working for you.
That's another good one. We've enjoyed working for you. That should be on their shirts. Yes, that should be on the back.
Yeah.
We've enjoyed working for you, but we're not available anymore. Anyways, it's going to be great. I think it'll work. Anything I touch turns to gold, so this revolution should actually work if I'm leading it. Sub-Commandant Bobos. Report to Bob. That's what they're going to do, right? With all kinds of signs. The signs will change every week, but one of them will definitely, reporting to Bob, just march around all over the major cities of the world.
You got to come up with a salute, Bob.
Yeah. Well, Roxy and I salute.
Hand signals for the drones.
Roxy and I salute each other every morning, so we'll just use that salute. This is the revolution that Roxy's been waiting for. She won't have anything to do with the puny ones in Mexico. She's waiting for the big ones. She's ready to go. Roxy will do anything for me. She'd walk to the moon if we're ordered.
God, Bob, what if we're those thousands of stone statues in China that turned to stone? Is that us?
Yeah, that was a failed revolution. Some guy, some aliens laser beamed them and they all just got frozen like Easter Island.
We turned to martyr.
Yeah. That was an early attempt. It was a parallel world rehearsal and went badly.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. That's right. Okay.
they work on batteries of electron ionization of slack.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that phrase. Yes, that has to be used. That phrase.
They will be realized.
Yeah, they were the neutron ionization of slack. They picked the wrong particle. They went neutron, that didn't work. Then they went proton ionization slack, and now electron was the right particle. That one's going to work.